music from the 16th century, The Flowers of the Forest, written in memory of thousands of Scottish soldiers who died in battle in 1513. To this day, this song is played when English or Canadian soldiers are killed in places like Afghanistan. This recording is the title cut on the latest CD from Ensemble Galilei. And this tune is the opening and closing anthem in a program called Between War and Here, a show that includes narration and music inspired by veterans and their experiences in combat. It's taking place at the Church of the Redeemer. It's a collaboration between Ensemble Galilei and veteran war correspondents Ann Garrels and Neil Conan, both erstwhile of NPR. Ann Garrels had hoped to join us this afternoon, but she's feeling a bit under the weather, but I'm delighted that Neil Conan is here with us in Studio A. He's a former host of All Things Considered and NPR's Talk of the Nation, and these days he produces and hosts a podcast for public radio called Truth, Politics, and Power. Neil, it's good to see you, sir.
Good to see you, Tom. Good to be back.
And Carolyn Surik is an acclaimed viola da gambist and a member of Ensemble Galilei. Welcome to you as well.
Thanks so much for having us.
So tomorrow night, Ann Garrels and Neil Conan will perform Between War and Here with Ensemble Galilei, as I mentioned, Church of the Redeemer in North Baltimore. It starts at 7 o'clock. So Neil Conan, to set this up, your experience as a war correspondent, mm-hmm. and you obviously folks know you as a host of various things, Talk of the Nation, et cetera, but your experience as a war correspondent was really quite extraordinary. You were actually captured by the Iraqi National Republican Guard.
Indeed. It's actually pretty easy if you stumble helplessly in a battlefield to get captured by the other side. But it was right at the end of what we now call the First Gulf War, and my old friend Chris Hedges and I were in Kuwait City, and he said we'd heard rumors of an uprising by the Shia in Basra, and we went to look around, and we found it, but in the company of the Republican Guard.
How long were you detained?
About a week, which I recommend. That's a good time. You know, you kept worrying that it was going to be a long, long time.
How'd you get out?
We got out because there was a negotiation. The Iraqis had lost the war, as people will remember.
Traded for another prisoner?
I don't think so. I think we were just gravy, you know. Mm-hmm. So we were kicked out and delivered into the hands of the International Committee of the Red Cross, and then driven from Baghdad to Amman in Jordan. So we visited all these towns and cities that became so famous later, places like Fallujah, and saw them before they were utterly destroyed. In fact, we saw them only the American smart bombs had been there. So you would see the communication center and it would be completely destroyed, and the places next to it would be perfectly fine.
And this was an important and significant experience to you as a journalist covering a battle in real time in the combat zone. How would you assess how it's impacted your life?
Well, I did not understand how it impacted my life at the time. I hesitate to suggest that anything that I went through approximate what soldiers in combat do. For one thing, I didn't carry a weapon. I don't have that burden with me. But I got plenty scared, and I was plenty scared for a long time afterwards, and had, you know, troubles. Yeah, you know, it's kind of the classic symptoms of PTSD. Mm. And had a hard time for a few years.
Yeah, I bet. And Carolyn Surik, you've put together this program with Neil and Ann and the fellow members of Ensemble Galilei, Between War and Here. It will benefit, the proceeds from the tour that you're doing will benefit Special Operations Warrior Foundation. This
yes.
is something you've got a lot of personal experience with. What's the animating premise behind this program?
Well, actually, it's incredibly personal. When I wrote the book Between War and Here, I really wanted people in America to know these extraordinary men and women who served and ended up at Walter Reed and their families. And the book ended up being really, really useful to the wounded warriors, but then that was sort of its purpose. And a few years ago, I had a year, like many people have, where many people died that I really cared about. And I went to reach out to a friend of mine who had been in special operations, and he'd been killed in a firefight in Afghanistan. And so I called up Neil, and I'm like, Neil, I really want to do something. And he was incredibly open to that, and I talked with Ensemble Galilee, and we talked to Anne Garrels, and we decided to make this project around the stories about wounded warriors and their families, and about Neil's experience and Annie's experience as a war correspondent in Baghdad, and to raise money for the Special Operations Warrior Foundation.
Just inserting, Annie spent 6 years in Baghdad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she wrote a book called Naked in Afghanistan.
Naked in Baghdad.
Oh, Naked in Baghdad, right. And she also wrote about her experiences in Russia, covering Russia. But, Carolyn, just to make sure our listeners remember, you and a couple of your colleagues spent 7 years, I think, going every week or virtually every week to Walter Reed and playing for folks who were wounded warriors.
Yes, exactly. We started at the old Walter Reed on Georgia Avenue, and then we moved over to Bethesda. And then we also worked down at Fort Belvoir. When Walter Reed moved, a lot of their behavioral health side went down to Fort Belvoir. So we also were working down at Fort Belvoir.
And what are the themes that you're going to be exploring then? You've written part of the narration.
I've just written a little bit about my story, which I was talking about earlier. And the words are Carolyn's from the book Between War and Here. And those are her observations about the men and women who are there for treatment and about their families, which is an incredibly important part because we forget those people are victims too. And it is an entire area where so many of us are aware that there are wars continuing in Afghanistan and Iraq and still in Syria and now Somalia and Yemen as well and various other places. But we don't actually, most of us, know the people who are there or are aware of what they are going through or are aware of what they go through when they come home because it's such a small part of our population and a isolated part of our population.
Yeah, some 1% of Americans actually participate in these wars. Mm. So the structure of the program then, Carolyn, you're going to alternate between musical selections and stuff from the book and narrative.
Oh, she wouldn't do that. No, she wouldn't do that. It's all integrated. We talk, they play. And, you know, Annie and I try to say, you know, where do I come in? She says, 8 bars from here. And I said, how long is that?
Where's that bar again?
Yeah. Exactly. O'Reilly's, I remember that. Yeah.
But, I mean, the fact that you're interplaying between what people are listening literarily, if that's a word, mm-hmm. and musically, is part and parcel of what you've done. Because you've done other projects with mm-hmm. Neil.
Exactly.
About this kind of thing.
We have a long history of creating multidisciplinary projects with Neil. But this one is like, I don't know. I mean, I have loved the projects we've done, you know, working with the Hubble Space Telescope Institute, National Geographic, Metropolitan Museum of Art. All of those projects have been very wonderful and thrilling. But this one is like, it's oddly beautiful in that the subject matter is a little hard. And you would think that it would be too much, but the music is so soulful and interesting. And the way that the music comes together with the words is so fascinating that the music gives your heart a place to rest. Mm. So people don't, at the end of the performance, go, oh, that was too much. Mm. They really sort of feel as if the resilience of these people, the courage, resilience, that those are the kinds of things that we walk away with rather than sort of the tragedy of it.
Yeah. And I have to reinforce that. I mentioned I had a bad time after coming back. One of the things that got me out of it was working with Ensemble Galilee. It is an enormous privilege to sit and listen to these wonderful musicians play. One of the great, you know, experiences of my life has been to sit on stage and listen as they rehearse. And it's even better when they stop arguing.
Which is pretty much never.
Yeah. Well, when they're performing.
I've known a musician or two in my life. And yeah, I can attest to that. But Neil Conan,
but good for the soul.
Yeah, these notions of resilience and courage and valor, they have taken on a very different patina, it seems to me now. I mean, from the Greatest Generation through Vietnam and through the Iraq wars, and now the longest war we've ever been involved in mm-hmm. in Afghanistan. You mentioned Syria, and then Lord knows what's ahead in Somalia and places like that. Exploring that it's timely and I would imagine complicated.
It is. Policy is complicated. And policy, everybody has their ideas on. Valor, I don't think anybody has big arguments about. I think courage and resilience in the face of personal difficulty, those are universal aspects that all of us share as Americans from the very start of this country. And it is, you know, again, policy you can argue about and what we are fighting about and where we are fighting. Hey, have at it. But in terms of the people who are being asked to do it, ordered to do it, I don't have any dispute with those people. They're heroes.
I think of this because, you know, here we have President of the United States disrespecting the memory of a decorated war veteran who was a prisoner of war in Vietnam. And he questioned his courage. He questioned his heroism. He questions, Mr. Trump does, Senator John McCain's heroism because, you know, he doesn't like people who got captured.
He didn't like John McCain.
Yeah.
He found a reason not to like him. And let's not get started about the Republican Party and their response to that.
But it's out there, and there's a number of people who seem to be at the very least willing to let it sit. They don't call him on it in his rallies or in the Senate or the Congress. So I just wonder if that indicate a shift in how people are thinking about it. I hope it doesn't.
I hope. And in his last rally, where he particularly went after Senator McCain, I think there was a audible hesitance in the crowd, which backed off its usual hysteria.
Yeah. And Carolyn, when you put these programs together, all of us as musicians are informed, our artistry is informed by our life experience. And this experience that you've now had for all of these years, interacting with people who have been on a battlefield, and as we mentioned, that's such a small percentage of our fellow citizens who have that experience. How do you think it has informed your work and your approach to playing the viola da gamba?
Well, I learned so much about what music does and what music can be and about what music can bring from my work with Wounded Warriors. I mean, as you know, I've been in music for like decades and decades and decades, but it was only after I'd spent all of those Fridays at Walter Reed that I really sort of understood that. And I think at one point I wrote something about the fact that we have, Ensemble Galilee has played in some of the magnificent concert halls in this country and in almost every state in this country. But the being at Walter Reed, playing in the corner of a lobby for people who are, they don't know anything about the viola da gamba. They don't know anything about the music we're playing. It's just about making music that speaks to them at that moment. And that taught me more about music than a lot of things that have come in the preceding 30 years.
The viola da gamba is an unusual instrument, but Carolyn tells a story. There's an extra string on it that I think came in extremely usefully in this project.
It's true. The story is that the greatest player of the 17th century in France, his wife died, and he could not fully express his grief. And so he went to his instrument maker. He said, I need one more string. So he added the seventh string, which is the lowest string on the gamba, and so that he could really fully express his grief. I find that to be incredibly important.
yeah, that's interesting. Neil Conner, we just got a few seconds left, but it's interesting to me that the last four presidents, Trump, Obama, Clinton, Bush, none of them had military experience before they took office.
Bone spurs, that's not military experience?
But, I mean, does that matter?
I think it does. I think we have seen a resurgence of the number of veterans elected to Congress in both parties.
Yeah.
And I think that will matter because when we hear those people's voices, they speak from experience. And it was interesting to hear Senator McSally come out recently to talk about her experience of being violated in the military, all too common an experience. But this is something we all need to come to terms with. We need to come to terms with the people we send to war and the people we put in institutions where they can be exposed to all kinds of violence.
Neil Conner and Carolyn Surik, they are featured in a collaboration tomorrow night with Ensemble Galilee. It's called Between War and Here. It starts at 7 o'clock at the Church of the Redeemer in North Baltimore. Break a leg tomorrow.
Thanks.
Hey, thanks.
Good to see you both. That's it for us today. Coming up on Monday here on our program, another conversation about a controversial article that appeared in the New York Times Magazine the Sunday before last. It was written by ProPublica reporter Alec McGillis. It was entitled The Tragedy of Baltimore. We'll talk to some folks about where Baltimore has been, where we are now, and what our future is Monday
on Midday. Our program's director and engineer is Luke Spicknell. Rob Sivak, Sienna Greaves, and Kathleen Cahill produced the program. Jamila Krempel is our digital producer. Austin Coughlin from Clean Cuts wrote and recorded the Midday theme music. Our interns are Morgan Ome and Abba Amoa. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. I'm looking forward to being with you again next week. Have a great weekend.